I'm very excited that you're having this press conference, and I'm very excited by what's happening. I think this is going to be one of the, in history, this is going to be one of the great modern events of America. We have, for the first time, torn down our iron wall. And the iron wall that I've been had the privilege of visiting Cuba about six or seven times, and I'll never, one of the most memorable moments was an almost all-night dinner with Fidel Castro. His dinners never started until about 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And it was just a monologue, but it was an interesting monologue because we had the California Rice Growers Association, the California Chicken Council, and the wine growers. Wine growers giving him some wonderful California wine, which he insisted could not be as good as Spanish wine because that's what they had in Cuba. But I've traveled all over this wonderful 1,000-mile island, the largest island in the Caribbean, with of constituents who have sister city policies. I've been to the international conferences on drug trade, where I was asked by our liaison in the Coast Guard, who has to wear a civilian uniform in the American mission there, and asked me to come as a member of Congress because the United States just wasn't present, and we should be, because all our allies in the drug trade in the Western Hemisphere and Europe were there, and America was missing. It just, over and over again, the America's just been missing from this, and missing in so many ways, because we have, with the embargoes that we put on, that the Congress put on, and Clinton signed into law, the Helms-Burton law, it's just put all these restrictions on anybody who wants to just be a legitimate, honest, innocent player, and let's find out, let's discover. Let's see if we can negotiate. There's all these bars against it, which President Clinton, and I just, I praise the boldness and with which he made this really just, you know, essentially did everything in his power to lift the restrictions that you have, that we have against Cuba. The governor's absolutely right that we're going to have to change the Helms-Burton law. We're going to have to lift some of those restrictions. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be very difficult, and I think the politics of it are going to emulate from the agricultural states, because I think it's governors that have been with their delegations to Cuba that have seen firsthand that there's an opportunity for market here, for our state to not only send our products, but to send our intellectual capacity, send our technical wherewithal, send our students, send our constituency, just to develop what is normally the opportunities that exist when you can travel freely. It's not going to be easy. Cuba, I think, is going to be more overwhelmed than we are. I think our politics are going to be difficult, but I think their politics internally in their socialist system to essentially create a free enterprise market in Cuba, although they need it. They need it most of all in food. Cuba is a well-educated country. It's a people that have a can-do attitude. They really like Americans. They love Americans, despite these embargoes that have made it so difficult for their lifestyles. And what I see is, and they live in poverty. I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Colombia, South America, living in a very poor barrio without water and lights and power, and really learned the culture of poverty. The culture of poverty as we know it, without access to education, without access to health care, without access to water and lights and power and a safe place to sleep, that's not the problem in Cuba. It's not a culture of poverty. It's a culture of hunger. They do not have the food. They can't produce it on the island. Their economy is in shambles. Their purchasing power is very weak. They just cannot buy and grow the food. They know what they want. One of the interesting things about Fidel Castro is that when he asked the head of our chicken federation in California, well, what is the content of the food you feed your chickens? And he says, well, I'm the lobbyist for the organization. He says, I really don't know what the food. He says, well, how can you represent an organization that sells chickens without knowing what they eat? And he went down and listed what Brazil fed their chickens and then why they were buying chickens from Brazil. But the point of it is that they know what they need. They just can't get access to it. And we haven't allowed them to get access to it because we've had all these financial prohibitions against spending money there, of using the dollar, of using a credit card, of trading. Have to pay for in dollars in advance before the product even leaves the United States. That's not done in any other trade negotiation in the world. And the other thing that's shameful is that every other country in this hemisphere has diplomatic and trade relations with Cuba. Every one of them. I went with President Obama to the last summit in Cartagena. And there wasn't a president of the Caribbean islands or nations or the Latin American nations that didn't chastise the United States for having this archaic policy that wouldn't allow Cuba to join the hemispheric unity. Now that we will, I think, and he goes to this conference in next summit in Panama, he's going to be welcomed as a hero. Because now we're going to be able to unify this entire hemisphere. Now, you may think it's a small island, but the significance of being able to bring in 11 million people and make them like the rest of the people in this hemisphere, when you think about it, as we go out and compete against the world, we've got every type of agriculture that there is in the world. Every single thing is grown in this hemisphere. We have more ability for producing electrons than any other hemisphere in the world. All the solar, all the wind, all of the hydro, all of the oil, I mean, you name it, every possibility of producing energy exists. If we could just unify this whole hemisphere, and this is what these presidents are all talking about, is a hemispheric energy policy, we wouldn't need a drop of oil or from any other part of the world. We could just send electrons all around this hemisphere. We have no wars in this hemisphere between countries. The entire hemisphere can speak in three languages, in Portuguese, English, and Spanish. A little bit of French from Quebec and French Guiana, but all the rest is in our languages. So the opportunity to unify, and by bringing Cuba into the tent and opening up all of these new, I think tourism is, in my district, it's the most asked question. Every time people hear about me going to Cuba, how can I go? Why can't I go? I even have very close professional friends that are saying, well, if I go illegally, will I get caught? And I said, probably not. Here's how you do it. So I think the battle, and I'd love to hear all my colleagues say, the battle is going to be in Congress. Because you have a really small minority of interests of Cuban Americans, who, by the way, can go to Cuba without a license. Any Cuban American can, so Cuban American members of Congress can go. You can't. They can send money to their relatives there. You can't. Their relatives in Cuba can now invest. We can't. So there's almost an interest there that I hope some of you in the press will look into about conflict of interest of members of the House and Senate who want to restrict others from getting the privileges that they now have. But it's going to be a fight. And as I say, I think that the conservative viewpoint is going to the politics is going to be motivated by the agricultural interests who have already, like the governor pointed out, have already made contact and have their states and their ag interests and their business interests already know what the opportunities are on Cuba. And they're going to have to pressure their Congress members and senators to follow through on being able to implement this incredible announcement of the president. So the point there that we'll gain market share that we've lost, actually, it's gone down because of the fewer the financial hurdles that our country's had, fewer hurdles for other countries, and Cuba's shortage of hard currency and Cuba's perception that the U.S. policy will not change. So now those days are over. The currency will be an issue, but I think we're going to make it. So My advice or recommendation is that we're going to start a new Cuba working group. We had that when Missouri Congresswoman Joanne Emerson, we had a working group that had an equal number of Democrats and Republicans. We had a lot of policy. It was very difficult to move it because leadership from the Cuban Americans in Congress were adamantly opposed to doing anything. We're in key positions and could use procedural blocks. Those things will still be possible. But you can overcome them by the will of the people and the politics of America. This is grassroots politics. The American people want to go to Cuba. Business people want to do business in Cuba. And they're going to have to voice that they're going to have to use their political voices to show those members of Congress that, indeed, we ought to follow through in legislating accordingly. So thank you very much for this ag coalition is absolutely essential to making the policy work, more essential than any other thing. That and the financial institutions that have an interest in opening up credit and business exchanges and being able to use credit cards in Cuba and things like that are going to be the two most motivating forces to be able to change American policy at the congressional level. So congratulations on this new year. And this exciting new assignment that I think is going to make it worthwhile to serve both in Congress and to report it very well in the press. Thank you.